From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jemma Gaudette. It's Idaho Matters. Well, the election results are in. How are late-night comics coping with the results? The election is over, so is Halloween, but we have a very new scary film for you. And since Halloween is over, it's time for Christmas. We've got a holiday classic. It's Coming Home for Christmas. Here to figure out all of these things and what to watch is our resident movie critic and our Morning Edition host, George Prentice. Hi, George.
Hi, Sam. And I love the fact that you said coping, because I think that might be the operative word for not only late-night comics, but maybe half the population, or nearly half.
Right. Everybody's coping today. We're doing good. So how are late-night comics coping with what has gone on this week?
So, I mean, just think of the last 4 years and what their monologues have been like, and the fact that they have been ruthless with the former president and now the president-elect. So last night was their first opportunity, right?
Sure.
Because they weren't on, obviously, election night.
Tonight, sure.
But last night they were on. I want to give you a sample of what some of them said. Jimmy Fallon said, yep, Trump could be the first president to be under White House arrest. Stephen Colbert, all day yesterday I was walking around proudly wearing my I voted sticker. Today I wore my I am questioning my fundamental belief in the goodness of humanity sticker. Jimmy Fallon, who may have probably been the most ruthless toward Donald Trump, said, my only request to President-elect Trump is that he let me share a prison cell with Taylor Swift. Jimmy Kimmel's monologue, by the way, last night was rather emotional. As a matter of fact, he got teary-eyed. He was rather serious. That said, before, you know, the show opened, they have what they call a cold open, if you will. And it showed Jimmy Kimmel in his office with a box, and he's filling the box with all of his things as if he's packing up. And his sidekick, Guillermo, who's the security guard, comes in and wants to know what's going on. So let's listen.
Jimmy, what are you doing?
I'm packing.
Packing? Are you going on vacation?
No, I'm not going on vacation. I'm leaving the country.
Why are you leaving the country?
I can't stay for another 4 years of this. Who knows what he's going to do?
Who? Donald Trump?
Yes, Donald Trump. You've heard him. He said he has a list of enemies. You think I'm not on that list?
Jimmy, calm down. You're acting like a stupid little baby.
Oh.
When the going gets tough, what do the tough do?
Get going. And that's what I'm doing. I'm getting going. Ow!
Jimmy, we need you. We need you to help us get through this. You have a very important voice.
I do?
Yes, Jimmy. This is the country. We need you.
Well, maybe you're right.
Yeah, do it for the blue, white, and red.
Yeah, it's really just the red, white, and blue, but thank you, Guillermo. I appreciate that. You know what? You're right. You're right. I need to stay here. We have unfinished business. Well, what's with the suitcase?
I'm going back to Mexico. You're on your own, buddy.
From Hollywood, it's Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Hey, well, that's how the show opened. So you can imagine the coming months are going to be pretty funny, depending on where you are or not. But I think it's fair to say that the comics have drawn a pretty straight line of how they think about the president-elect. But that said, as someone said many, many years ago, hey, at least it's good for the comedy business, right?
I was going to say, wherever you fall on the political spectrum, the late-night comedians will have plenty to talk about.
It's so interesting of where we are because, you know, Johnny Carson never really went there.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he was the dean of late-night comedy, if you will. But he never really went there. You really couldn't tell what his politics were. Mm-mm. And as a matter of fact, he rarely attacked anyone, especially someone who was troubled. So, but, you know, the gloves are off in the 21st century, right? The rules have changed so much. And so Colbert and Kimmel and Fallon, you know, this is their trade. And my guess is they're just going to keep it coming.
I got to tell you, George, I ran across an old, there's a lot of Johnny Carson on DVD. I ran across one in a, you know, $1.99 bin and took it home just for nostalgia, just for fun, just to remember what it was like back then.
The gold standard.
Yeah. Yeah. And you compare it to now, it's fascinating.
It's so interesting because his monologue, as the New York Times used to call it, was the, if you will, you know, the record of that day, right?
Yeah.
You would go to bed in the evening and, you know, and for, you know, 7 or 8 minutes, he would let you know what's going on, but, you know, with a wink. But it was never really, really, really tough. And it's so interesting that he left the business just as, you know, like Bill Clinton was coming into office. So, but, you know, things are different now. And Donald Trump, I mean, you know, for goodness sakes, you know, his trade used to be television. So anyway.
It's a different world.
Very.
I admit. Okay. So Halloween has passed, but you have a very scary new film. And you see a lot of films. So if it scares you, it's got to be pretty scary.
I get scared very easily, for the record. And I do not lean toward scary movies, certainly horror movies. I think this actually does qualify as a horror movie. It is terrifying. The name of the film is Heretic. And folks, if you have not heard of this film, you will. It stars Hugh Grant, unlike any Hugh Grant role you've ever seen before. A fair amount of the movie is about Mormonism. So strap in for this one. So the film starts with two young women. They're teenagers, right? And they're Mormons. And they're missionaries, as a matter of fact. And so they're door knocking. Have you heard the good word, et cetera? And they come to the door of a rather unassuming home, and it looks very familiar in that I think it could easily be in the Mountain West. You know, it has that feel. But it's an old home, and they knock on the door, ring the doorbell, if you will. And this gentleman, Hugh Grant, comes to the door. His name is Reed, Mr. Reed. And they, you know, they say, have you heard the good words? Like, no. But, you know, I'm anxious to hear about it. And, you know, would you like to come in and talk about it? And they say, well, no, we can't come in unless there's another woman present. And he says, oh, yeah, well, that's okay. My wife is in the kitchen and she's baking a pie right now. And it's like, as a matter of fact, can you smell the pie? And it's like, yeah, just like, can you tell what it is? And they say, oh, is it blueberry? He says, it's blueberry. And so they come in and they settle down into this rather, again, unassuming living room. And they start talking. But it evolves into this intellectual, almost a wrestling match of, you know, questioning faith. But it starts very innocently with this Mr. Reed talking about the Book of Mormon, right? And in fact, you know, have you ever seen when they go door to door, they're almost like pamphlets, but his Book of Mormon is the size of an Oxford dictionary and it's dog-eared. So you clearly know that not only has he read it, he has probably dissected it. And so that's how this begins when he, you know, hits this Book of Mormon, this huge Book of Mormon, down on the coffee table in front of them. And the young women are actually very impressed and kind of giddy about it. But things just start going downhill. Let's listen.
This.
Wow. No, you read more than we do. No, seriously, we should be more like you, Mr. Reed. Mr. Reed. Pie smells amazing. And now that you've been studying the Book of Mormon, how does it make you feel?
Can you guess what kind of pie she's making?
Is it blueberry pie?
It is blueberry pie.
I knew it, my favorite.
Going back, can I ask, how did your father pass away?
Lou Gehrig's disease.
Have you seen any signs of your father since he passed? Has he tried to communicate from the other side?
No.
That's strange. Well, ladies, I think it is time.
Time for what?
Time for enlightenment.
Oh. Mr. Reed?
Welcome.
We need to return to the church.
If you are ready to leave,
You'll have to exit through the back of my house.
So which door?
It's a simple choice, but it should not be made simply. Belief or disbelief.
What happens if we choose the wrong door?
Things go really, really, really bad. And so the first third of this movie is a little bit like what I shared with you. But make no mistake, this becomes a horror movie. Either door is bad, as the young girls find out. There is a basement. There is a sub-basement. There are other beings in the house.
Oh.
To be sure, the horror is grounded in reality. There is nothing that we see that couldn't happen. But it is terrifying. It is absolutely terrifying. Now, there has been a fair amount written about this film. You can imagine, you know, it really deconstructs the LDS Church. But from my perspective, it is not so much about Mormonism as it is about faith. And his attack on these young women, I think, and it is an attack, by the way, I think is also grounded in attacking people who try to do good, you know, just innocent people. I think that's very much a theme of this film. But I also think it is about our faith and our belief and how we attack one another sometimes for what we believe.
Mm.
And that's what I mean, there, you know, this is a horror movie with a fair amount of intellectualism in it. And the script is stunning. And when he starts deconstructing every religion, but then it just gets horrible. And yes, there will be blood. It's a horror movie unlike any other. It will get people talking. It will get people debating. I know that I've talked to a few people, former members of the LDS Church, who have actually scheduled viewing parties, right, you know, to see this.
Ooh.
And lately, there have been some popular reality shows about Mormon wives, et cetera, on Hulu and Netflix, et cetera. It turns out that some of the stars of these shows have been hosting screenings in the Salt Lake City area. And some people are just disgusted by this film, and some people are cheering this film. This is really going to get people talking. But it's Hugh Grant.
Yeah.
It's Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant.
Like, wrap your brain around this. So the other day, Hugh Grant was on Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, okay.
Okay, to promote the film.
Sure.
So Jimmy Kimmel asked Hugh Grant to read the same line from a movie, okay? First of all, if it were a horror movie, and then read the same line if it were, you know, like Notting Hill,
uh-huh.
you know, or like uh-huh. one of his rom-coms.
Uh-huh. But
let's listen.
The first is the movie Silence of the Lambs. There's the line. Think about it.
Okay, what's this lighting cue?
All right. Wow, we really went all out.
Yeah. Hello, Clarice. How was that?
That was really good. I'd hire
And
you.
Now?
And now in a rom-com way.
Well, hello, Clarice.
I like that. You're Clarice.
Yeah. Here's the movie is The Exorcist.
The power of Christ compels you. Or, do you know, the power of Christ compels you.
I like this a lot.
Psycho.
Yeah. We all go a little mad sometimes.
Or, I don't know, we all go a little mad sometimes.
Am I doing two more?
All right.
Wow, this is great.
Oh, yeah. Hi. Hi, I'm Chucky. Want to play? Or, hi, sorry, I'm Chucky. I just wondered if you'd maybe like to play.
And one more. Okay, well, this is not a, this is from one of your films, Love Actually. Yes.
Okay.
You know, if you look for it, I have a sneaky feeling that love actually is all around.
Wow, that is spectacular.
That's acting.
Oh, my gosh.
By the way, Hugh Grant is a guest tomorrow on Morning Edition. He'll be talking about Heretic, and he's pretty choosy about the films he makes lately. But this one is going to have jaws dropping. But it really shook me to the core. Shook me to the core.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think it opens today, maybe tomorrow, but, you know, a brand new movie.
Okay. So I need a little happiness and holiday cheer now that I'm terrified. Can we talk about a new, an old holiday classic with a new home for Christmas?
Absolutely. Very old. And
yes.
So, and I'm going to date myself because I'm old enough to remember its premiere. And its premiere was December 6th, 1964. On NBC, I remember it was a Sunday, and it was just before the World of Disney, so it was a Sunday on NBC. By the way, it is one of the oldest Christmas specials of all time. It is not the oldest. The oldest in 1962 was Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol.
Mm.
In 1964, something brand new hit television. Stop action animation.
Mm-hmm.
What is this?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a musical.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the? Oh, but and it's based on, you know, this classic Christmas song, of course. So it was part of what was called the General Electric Fantasy Hour.
Nice.
Back in 1964. Let's listen.
The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
Join Rudolph in a trip to the Island of Misfit Toys. Meet Yukon Cornelius, the funniest prospector of the North.
Gad, Zeus, new monster of the North strikes again.
Meet Santa's elves and hear seven original Christmas songs. Burl sings...
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer.
It's a holly jolly Christmas special for the entire family. Don't miss Rudolph, Sunday, December 4th, in color on most of these stations.
So we would gather around the big TV set in the living room for things like this. And can you imagine the first time hearing it? And it's not as if you could record it or watch it again. So it was just stored in your memory. The songs are classics, right? I mean, these
for
are
lives,
right?
Come on.
Holly Jolly Christmas. I mean, it's part of the, you know, the fabric, the holiday fabric, if you will. So for years, decades, it's been playing over on CBS. CBS bought the rights. Well, this year, NBC said, we want it back for the anniversary, and they're going to air it on the same day, you know, December, what did I say here?
December 4th?
It's actually going to be on Friday, December 6th.
Okay.
Because they want to put it on a Friday.
Okay.
But on NBC television. So it is coming home for its anniversary. But who doesn't love Rudolph, right?
Right? It's a great show.
Kids today watch it for the first time.
The songs, the story.
Yeah.
But as you said, I mean, at the time, that was groundbreaking.
Oh, my gosh.
Such a change in the way people saw television.
And stop action animation is such a thing, right? I mean, there are feature films in stop action that are brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
But this was groundbreaking. And a kid's show... to be 60 minutes in prime time was unheard of.
Right.
But yet it was treated almost like a Broadway musical. They had these great songs. I mean, they still ring in my brain, you know, when Santa says, I am old Kris Kringle.
Yep.
I'm the king of jingling. Mm-hmm. The king of
jingling.
Like, did an adult write these songs? But yet, it's just embedded in, you know. So I thought I would share this with you for a smile.
Oh, well, George, you know, as our resident movie critic, spends his spare time hosting Morning Edition.
Spare time, yes. Yeah.
I'm so glad you brought us what to watch this week. I can't thank you enough.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks for giving me a home for all my nutty little just suggestions.
Thanks for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Samantha Wright. We'll see you tomorrow.
No matter what happens in Washington, the NPR Politics Podcast is here for you. For the latest news, insights, and analysis from the election and beyond, listen to the NPR Politics Podcast.